Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat, RV, it is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The delay in getting here is nothing to do with the writers or the actor strike. I realize Matt is probably registered with AFTRA. I'm not surprised. But, yeah, had nothing to do with that at all. That's their own deal, their own strike. Okay. One of the slower times of the year. Your team's cooking along. I'm really impressed.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
They're cooked. Not cooking along. They're cooked. That was a painful, painful series, regardless if they had somehow won that game yesterday.
So Rob writes, so when is the suit going to start selling a sponsorship for the Macatrillo rant of the day? I would imagine the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe would be looking for more ad space by now. Rob also writes, I do agree with Steve that 95% of the rants I don't care about.
Oh, my almighty!
But they are funny on how much Matt gets worked up on everything. I could care less about what jersey someone is wearing, etc. So far, Rob, you are a person of no common sense. After that, Rob writes, is Penn State going to bring back the unrivaled Penn State football story? No. To my knowledge, they are not. Everything they're doing right now is focused on social media, including the highlight packages that can be found on their Facebook page and so forth, but the TV show, to my knowledge, Rob, is not coming back. It says, I believe it stopped because of COVID, but I'm not sure if it was stopped because of the internal, because the Internet has taken over those type of segments or if there are other factors in it. No, it's an Internet thing, Rob. You're right. You're on the right track as to why. And they're still there filming all the time, Rob, all the time. Football and basketball, women's basketball, hockey has its own show. So they still have crews there. You know, I still see Shane Robinson there. I still see the audio people there, Michael Spack's there. I mean, they're all there. But they're putting it together for their internal use, whether it's Instagram or Facebook or elements like that. Yeah, you're right, Rob. It's because the Internet has taken over those type of segments, and that's a big reason why. Next question he had was, are you going to move your pregame show back to the stage outside the Jordan Center? Last year, while I realized you were on, quote, the big stage, and he's right about that, I didn't think you had the same kind of interaction. I agree. I realize this isn't your decision. See, this guy makes complete sense. I mean, the first two paragraphs about you were basically baseball bat you. He's really right on. Okay? I realize this isn't your decision, but I figured you would have heard from some what some of the off-season talk is. That, Rob, they're not going to move it, to my understanding. My understanding is they're going to keep it in the same spot because they're trying to generate the traffic into that spot, which means they're trying to generate the traffic into that spot for the pregame arrival. They're trying to generate the traffic into that spot because it's outside the tunnel. And the same thing with this show here. So the hour that we're out there, And you're right about the interaction. We try to get out and talk to people very much. I mean, during the commercial breaks, we'll come down off the stage. But because the stage is so high, and you are so right, Rob, I mean, it's the big stage. It's so high that's really difficult for people to get up to us, you know, to see us. So, I mean, we've been trying to, and there's that back area when you're looking at the stage, the tunnels to your right, and you're facing the stage. If you go around to the back, there's a grassy area in the back and to the right of the stage. And that's where we usually try to get down to interact with people. And you're right, because we want very much the interaction to happen. I mean, that's important to us, that the interaction happens. And it's an important part of the show just to have that kind of interaction. I mean, Roger's out there, but everything gets thrown a loop a little bit, unintentionally. When the blue band comes through, for example, I mean, they take precedence as they come through that area. So at that point, especially if it happens when we're on the air, we can't talk back and forth to people because the band is there. But that's the only way for the band to get into the stadium, too. So they're trying to make that the focal point area. And you're right, I have nothing to do with the decision. I'm essentially told, show up at this time and at this spot. So that's what we do. As for the rants, I mean, Rob, I mean, it's just, I don't know what to say.
I'll have the suit work on it once he gets back from vacation.
No, I think Dewey Cheatham and House are really good. Yeah, I mean they're rock solid.
Yeah, I'm fine with them too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was a solid email all around from Rob.
I mean, solid all the way around. I mean, Rob's correct. I mean, he's absolutely right about that when it comes to, the rant of day. Because the one thing about Dewey Cheatham and Howe, I mean, you got to give them credit for this. They don't pay their bills, so does it really matter?
Touche.
It doesn't really matter. All right. So what is your first rant of the day? You've had an entire week to ruminate.
I do have quite a lot on the docket, actually. So if we don't get to all of them today, I'll save them for tomorrow. How about that? So now the other thing that popped up while we were off was, of course, what happened with Tennessee football and all the violations that they got and the punishments they got. And I don't have a problem with most of them. It's just, I've never understood what vacating wins does. You can't undo what happened in the past.
Nothing.
So, like, I just, other than it's just that the record's going to say that his record at Tennessee was 5-13. Unless you're going to give the wins to the schools that they played against, then I guess I can kind of accept it. But again, you can't undo history. But at least, I guess it's something that you at least award those wins to those opponents. But those opponents aren't even getting those wins. It's just, okay, these games never happen. They're just not going to get the wins. That's it. You can't undo history. The games already happened. Punish them in these other ways, which is fine. But enough with this vacating wins nonsense. And this is not just this. This is every other time that we've had the NCAA double try to take away wins for whatever circumstance it was, you name it. And just that whole concept to me is stupid. And it just does nothing, first of all, other than just probably aggravate people that follow the sport. You can't undo history. And at least if you're going to give those wins, if you're going to take those wins away, give them to the opponents that played against Tennessee. If not, just leave it alone. You've already put them up to what they have done with these punishments.
There's show cause for coaches. That's needed. Players that are involved should be suspended and probably harshly. Right? And when it comes to vacating wins, I'll tell you two stories about that. They both involve Ohio State. At one point, Penn State had to, quote, vacate its wins because they violated, no rules. And Ohio State was on probation, and they they had to vacate wins. So Ohio State beat Penn State in 2010, and Penn State went out to Ohio State and beat them in 2011. Both those games were vacated, one for Ohio State, one for Penn State. So I called up Paul Keels in the middle of all this, who's the play-by-play voice at Ohio State. I said, remember those games you and I did in 10 and 11? He goes, oh, yeah. I said, evidently they were a mirage. And then my favorite is Ohio State in basketball had to vacate. There were vacating games. So I'm looking at their game notes one day. Last time Penn State won a game, or it said Penn State has never won a game at the Schottenstein Center, Value City Arena. I'm looking at the notes. I'm going, what the hell? I remember Tyler Smith hitting a shot in the wing and winning 78-75 in the 2001 season. So I went to somebody. I said, well, I looked it up in our book. I was like, it's right there. I said, what are you talking about? Penn State's never won here. Penn State's won here. He said, well, we had to vacate the game. I said, look to the guy. I said, it was Mark. I said, Mark, I said, you don't vacate your losses. I said, Penn State has won a game there. I said, they beat you 78-75. I said, you can't tell me the. I said, I'm looking at the notes. Like, I swear to God, I was sitting there and watched it. We vacated all our games. No. Okay, Penn State won that game and a couple of others. I say, what do you mean they've never won here? They've won here. Oh, crazy. Crazy. Yeah, I always find that to be nonsensical. Embiid makes $52 million a season. Maybe if you made $104 million this season, they could get to the third round. Oh, well. Yeah. Egos, you're gone.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Yeah. All right. Back with more rants in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Well, Matt is on the verge of going completely insane for the final hour.
That might be true because of these Joel comments, but also a couple other things that I got that I've picked up from the last week or so.
Yeah.
Including with our play-by-play call of the day coming up.
Oh, wonderful. Sounds great.
I've had it with one particular broadcaster.
Well, I'm sure they speak highly of you.
A color analyst, more specifically.
Oh, okay. Aaron Judge did some running, but not at full speed.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Prudy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Marcus Reed and Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle. You want to make sure you're fully insured. You also want to get the best price. Purdy Insurance takes care of all of that. The pros. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Phillies, like the Colorado Rockies, walk it off.
It's the pitch. Breaking ball swung on line to center. It'll get down. It's a base hit. Yes. The game's tied. As Bryce Harper ties it up with two outs in the bottom of the 10th inning, it's 6-6.
One ball, two strikes. Hill ready. He kicks the pitch. Swing and a fly ball left field. Soto going back. He's there. He will make the catch. Sosa tags. He's coming home. He's in to score, and the Phillies win it.
Okay, what's your problem with the play-by-play call today? You got a problem with everything else.
Well, I have a problem with Scott Fransky. I never have a problem with Scott Fransky. But I've had it up to here with Larry Anderson. he is probably the most unprofessional color analyst I listen to right now. And I love listening to Phillies games, but I can't stand Larry Anderson anymore. All right, first of all, the clapping, the yelling at the umpires while on the mic trying to call the game with Scott and throwing him off, mind you. The going with the yes, yes, the cheering, like, dude, stop. I know you've been a longtime broadcaster. I know you're part of the Phillies organization. I get all that. But you still need to maintain some professionalism. You've been doing this for a long time now. I get you're semi-retired. You only do the home games, this and that, which I also kind of find a little nauseating, but whatever. But this acting like a fan while trying to do a professional job in broadcasting the game, it's annoying and it's nauseating and it's bottom line unprofessional. I can't stand him at all, and I wish the Phillies broadcast team would see that and remove him completely from the broadcast and just move on with whoever they got with the road games and stuff like that. I've had enough with Larry Anderson and his antics on the air. I mean, it's enough already.
Does that mean we're not going to get him as a guest on the show?
Well, you know. I'll say probably not.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
I mean, like, enough. Go in the stands.
Well, maybe this would be an interesting topic to bring up for the fans and find out what they think. Maybe they love it. Maybe they don't. It would be something we should find out from our fans that listen to the show.
I would be curious to know.
You know, I mean, why not? Let's, once we get a couple things fixed here. A lot of times during the show, just to keep the energy going up on the equipment, the suit will ride a bike, and the bike powers the equipment. And I think, as everybody knows that's been around Kevin lately, that stamina is not a big part of life.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
We should open up the phone lines and, you know, find out from people, what do you think? And we may find out they feel exactly the way you do. We may find out that they love it. How about that?
Oh, yeah. I'd love to know. I really would.
I mean, they may feel exactly the way you do. They don't like it. Or they may love it. See, a lot of what happens with situations like that, is it depends on where you live. So I'll give you an example. Georgia's the national champion in college football. Larry Munson, for decades, was their play-by-play guy. Larry Munson always referred to Georgia as we and the opponent as them. We, us, them. And it was liberally used in the broadcast. Hey, we made a big play. We made a first down. We scored a touchdown, you know. Right? And he did that for a long time. When Scott Howard took over as the play-by-play voice, you know, and Scott does a good job, right? But he does the same thing Larry Munson did. We, us, them. Okay? You know, that's one thing about SiriusXM. You can hear everybody now. As you know, when I do the broadcast, I mean, everybody knows which team I want to win. All right, let's be honest about it. But I always refer to Penn State as Penn State or the Nittany Lions. I've never used Penn State as we or us. Okay, that's just my way of doing things. It's different than Scott Howard's, but it's just my way of doing it. Because in this region of the country, it always has been like that. You never hear Scott Fransky refer to the Phillies as we, right? Never. But down south, they will refer to their teams as we and us. There's a lot of provincialism in the south. and the provincialism extends to the broadcast as well. Now, not everybody. I mean, Eli Gold is not a weird enough guy at Alabama, you know, and so forth. But and John Ward never was with Tennessee. But you know, in different parts of the country, there are different expectations about what they want from their analyst or from their play-by-play person. Now, will Jack Ham refer to Penn State as we and us? Yes, he does. Right? But I mean, he played here, right? But he's just looked using the word, and he's not on there openly rooting for the team. He's analyzing what went right, what went wrong, right? Which is what I think the fans want. They want an explanation as to what went right and what went wrong, and that's what you expect from your analyst. So, you know, we ought to find out from the fans how they feel about that. Do they feel like he's their kind of guy and he's one of them? Or do they feel the way you do, you know, that it's Christmas Day in Philadelphia with the Giants and the Eagles and Santa Claus is being pelted by hot dogs on Dollar Dog Day?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
But you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, that's, I think, the reason I'm sitting here. I had to somehow, around what you're doing, make sense.
According to the emails, there you go.
Yes. I sense you're not done.
No, I'm not, actually.
He's on a roll. Don't stop him. He's on a roll.
Now, I get it with this next one. I'm falling into the rabbit hole again, but you know me, I can't ignore stupid. And today, I see a retweet from Adam Schefter that says the following. The New York Jets' first four training camp open practices sold out in 3 minutes. They have five more that are going to be open to the public that I guess are going on sale soon. Oh, really? I wonder why. Because of a guy named Aaron Rodgers. Of course they're going to be sold out. They're going to be sold out regardless, because who wouldn't want to go and open practice at training camp? But especially because Aaron Rodgers is there. That's not breaking news. First of all, I could care less, as Aaron Rodgers himself is nauseating in one retrospect of that, and the coverage around them is another. But of course it's going to be filled. No. All training camp practices are sold out at Jets camp. Really? That was the hottest breaking news of the day. That's going to stick with me. That gave me some tremendous insight. Come on, Shefty. You can do better than that.
Well, it is news, though. And the reason it is news is not because of just the novelty of it. Maybe you were thinking about going to a Jets practice. Right? You're like, oh, great, I just saw Schefter's tweet. They're all sold out for the next five. Oh, they might put more tickets on sale. I mean, you know, so I mean, that's news because it's informing people that may want to go. If you're a Jets fan, it's been forever since you made the playoffs and had any kind of hope. So, of course, they're going to go and want to go. They're excited about the team. And it's not just Aaron Rodgers coming in. They got Lazard there. They brought in Adrian Amos. I mean, they had a pretty good defense last year. So I think that you know, I don't blame them for having excitement around the team. I mean, not in the least. I mean, I think that that's one of the they're an intriguing story. Now, whether they can pull this off or not, I don't know. It's going to be a long 17-game season for them. But the fact there's excitement, this is just proof of excitement. Yeah. Not, I mean, look, not every training camp practice is sold out.
Well, if that, they're close to it. But, I mean, like, I don't know. I just felt like when I saw that tweet, it was like, yeah, no duh. Of course they're going to be sold out, but I guess from that sense, again, I understand, but maybe it's also the Aaron Rodgers hate inside of me that maybe perturbed me a little bit with this.
Well,
I'm not afraid to admit that part.
Well, you're not afraid to admit anything. You're wrong about most of it, but that's all right.
Hey, at least I don't make it memeable. At least I don't think I do. It's not my intention.
Well, look, they're going to be on Hard Knocks. Like everybody else, they don't want to be on Hard Knocks. This will be their second time through. I think Rex Ryan, when he got them to the playoffs, they were on Hard Knocks that year. Nobody wants to be on it. I mean, Shannon Furman and her crew do a great job with it. And I've talked to Shannon about it. She says, look, once we're in there doing this, the people we're dealing with are really great about it. I mean, she says they really are, that they're great about the whole deal. It's just like the organizations sit there and go, boy. The organizations kind of sit there and go, and look, the coaches that are involved, they just want to get to work. Man, they got a lot of stuff to do in a short period of time. They don't have as much hitting in practice as they used to, so they've got to go through ways of combating the heat, who you want to play in a preseason game, how many roster spots are really open, and so forth. And being on a TV show is just an added pain in the neck. Like, okay. And do you sit there and watch what you're saying the entire time? I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure you get some assurances about what's going on, that, hey, look, we're not going to cross any lines. But, yeah, I've talked to Shannon a few times about it. And she's told me, for the most part, the players and the coaches are actually pretty cool about dealing with it. You know they have to, so they try not to be jerks about it. And everybody's just kind of like, okay, hey, what do you need? Okay, I got it. She said, for the most part, they've been pretty good over the years. And she's done a bunch of them. She has produced a bunch of them along the way. I'm sure you're not done.
All right, now I guess we can get to Joel Embiid and his interesting comments that he said, I guess it was a couple days ago, saying that he wants to win a championship with Philly or somewhere else. He just wants to win a championship. I mean, a couple things with that. First of all, I don't know what he's thinking of even putting something out like that. He knows the city and the way how crazy things can get, so he should know to keep his mouth shut when it comes to things like this. Especially with the frustration that's been building the last three seasons. Especially with him being injured in five of the last six playoff appearances. And that has played a factor. There's no question about it. Another reason why he should keep his mouth shut. A, know your environment, know your fan base. B, when you contributed to it, you probably shouldn't make a comment about it openly in public. Unless you want to be subject to this ridicule that you're now getting from the Philadelphia fan base. It just doesn't make sense at all. Now, I'm also, the other side of this is, go straight up to Daryl Morey and Josh Harris and the incompetent front office that the Sixers have had all this time, despite the winning that they've had, we'll call it the winning, so the somewhat of winning, of having good regular season but then choking the second round. You, the fact that it's gotten this far that you're wasting years with Joel Embiid is an embarrassment in itself. And there's other things with the future of this organization that you just have no respect at all for this fan base by trying to put an arena in Center City and not where it is right now in South Philly with the sports complex there. But that you still don't get it in terms of trying to build a team to win around Joel Embiid, who's now an NBA MVP. You still don't get it because you've been in the same round three times and lose for the same reasons. No shooting, no defense. And, of course, we have Joel Embiid's injury concerns. But, again, that's a separate topic. So there's a lot of things to be mad about with Joel's comments. Some are on Joel, but some are on the front office for playing a part of why the Sixers haven't been able to get over the hump in Joel Embiid's prime years.
No, I don't blame him for wanting to win a title. Yeah, I don't blame him for that at all.
Yeah, and I know, and I don't say this for a lot of athletes, but I know he's working hard. I mean, the injuries happen. They're unfortunate, but 5 out of 6 seasons, I think there's something to it. But I know that he's working hard for it, so this time I'm not questioning the player's effort or anything like that. I know it's all on him to try and do better, but at the same time, shouldn't say the comments, but the Sixers organization should have been building the team around him better, and they haven't.
No, they haven't, but it's also a difficult balance to make something like that happen, too. It's not easy. Only one team wins. And things have to fall into place for it to happen. I mean, you look at the Golden State Warriors this year. They were the champions last year. And now you look at, and then this year, a lot of the same personnel. A lot of the same. But at the same time, they couldn't make it happen. Couldn't get it done. And that is, that's a problem. It's hard to win a championship. In fact, your city is perfected. Not winning titles.
Yeah.
You're really good at it.
Unfortunately, yeah.
But I mean, that is it just shows how hard it is. Say you had Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. You'd have won. No.
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
But I don't blame them. You know, and and first of all, he's the MVP of the league. He's entitled to talk. He's done everything he can. I think he's entitled to talk. He wants to win a title. I brought up Oscar Robertson before when I was talking about James Harden. Oscar Robertson was a great player for the Cincinnati Royals. But he finally got traded to the Bucks. He won a title. Okay? Bill Walton ended up with the Celtics. He'll tell you 86 was the greatest year of his basketball life. The way it is. Embiid probably could help the Celtics, don't you think?
Yes, but not that I want to see that, but yes.
Just thought I'd bring it up.
That would be the definition of true salt in the wound, but that's not going to happen.
You ever been to Boston? That place has a ton of banners. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sponsored by Prudy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, RV, boat, motorcycle. Could be bundles. They'll do everything they can to save you money. And they'll do everything they can to make sure you're fully insured. And we're closing in on the April 9th Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Greater Susquehanna Valley, at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We'll be out there for the event. And Matt will be engaging all of us in 18 holes of rants.
Well, that'll depend on my golf game that particular day. We'll see.
Matt will be engaging us in 18 holes of rants. All right. All this pent-up frustration. What's next on the hate parade?
Actually, that completes my list.
That completes your list? Really?
That is correct, yes.
Wow.
That's not bad for a full week off, if I must say so myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go on about the Yankees, but I think the play speaks for itself.
Well, you take out the $40 million made by direct deposit, and you still have $239 million in payroll, and you're hitting .231.
Yep, and losing to the Cubs and the Rockies.
And you're officially in last place because the tiebreaker.
Yeah. Yeah, all unacceptable. All absolutely unacceptable.
So there you are. A week's worth of rants. Now, SEC Media Day is going on right now. It is the storylines down there. Now, Big Ten will be next week. The storylines are quite simple. I mean, simple but complicated. And five primary ones right out of the gate. Georgia's ultra-talented, but new quarterback, okay, new offensive coordinator, and some off-the-field issues. The off-the-field issues are hard to gauge as to how they're being handled because it's not just what happened post-parade. They've had a series of speeding violations, and I mean speeding like 90 and a 45, 88 and a 55, I mean, and so forth. But they've got to go out and replace Stetson Bennett. Okay, now, I know they're really high on the Beck kid. I mean, I know that. But Mike Bobo is the offensive coordinator, not Todd Monken. So he's got his own way of doing it. No Jalen Carter or Kaylee Ringo, although Carter will have to make repeated appearances down there because of the lawsuit. Because that's the latest. He's being sued. So they will have some questions. Alabama, same story. New offensive coordinator. Bill O'Brien's now with the Patriots. Tommy Reese is now there. They brought in Tyler Buckner at quarterback because it became obvious to them that Ty Simpson and Jalen Milroe in the spring did not do anything to light up the coaching staff to say, hey, we're good there. And how many times did Bryce Young, in a lot of ways, bail them out? And this has been an organization that has had a lot of big-time wide receivers. Jameson Williams, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. I mean, they've had some big-time wideouts. They don't look like they have a lot of big-time wideouts. And to be honest with you, their defense last year was very good but not great. LSU, year two, Brian Kelly. Now, there's no question. They got better as the season went last year. Okay, they got Jaden Daniels back. He did very well, especially as the season went, he got better and better. And, yeah, the entire offensive line back at LSU makes a big difference. And they got better and better as time went. LSU was a threat, I think, in the last season of the SEC West. Because they have the quarterback, the offensive line, and their defense is getting better. There is no doubt that Texas A&M is always going to be a story. They came in last year, a year ago at this time. They were touted as having the number one recruiting class ever. Not the number one recruiting class for 2022. The number one recruiting class ever. That's what we heard over and over again. And you know how I feel about such things. I always find that stuff to be... I don't get it. I mean, I know you got to write a story, you got to make a stand or whatever. Yeah, okay, you can do whatever you want, but that's not informing the audience of anything. And you got to, you know, you got to be realistic. Nobody knows how good you are until you start playing. Okay. And last year, as we all know, Jimbo calls plays. And last year, they couldn't generate any offense. So they bring in Bobby Petrino, former Arkansas coach. And they've got some terrific receivers that can really help them. But is Connor Wigman a guy that can take the next step at quarterback? And this is also a league that has a lot, the SEC, a lot of transfer quarterbacks. Hey, Peyton Thorne, who was at Michigan State, is now Auburn's quarterback. He's competing with Robbie Ashford. Ashford stayed. Okay. Jackson Dart transferred from USC to Ole Miss in his second year at Ole Miss. But it's not as if Lane Kiffin sat there and said, Jackson Dart, it's yours, because Spencer Sanders transferred from Oklahoma State into Ole Miss. And Will Howard transferred from LSU to Ole Miss. Then there's Devin Leary, who transferred from NC State to Kentucky. And Jake Garcia transferred from Miami to Missouri. They got a lot of transfers at quarterback in that conference. You know, and I didn't even, you know, and of course it goes back to one of them being at Alabama, Tyler Buckner, coming in from Notre Dame. So there are a lot of interesting stories in the SEC that will play out over the next 2 days as they go through all the teams and the coaches. Greg Sankey is the commissioner of the SEC. Greg Sankey is the kind of guy that is now the veteran of all commissioners, and for the most part has done a terrific job. So Sankey had his press conference, and when name, image, and likeness came up, he is not going to go, does not want to go through collective bargaining. His quote was, "The reality is only Congress can fully address the challenges facing college athletics." said the NCAA cannot fix all the issues. He said the courts cannot resolve all the issues. He said the states can't resolve the issues, nor can the conferences. And then he said whether congressional action is achievable is also a matter of debate, a lot of debate. But he said educational opportunities, supporting equitable opportunities for men and for women, ensuring the United States' continued success in the Olympic Games, providing medical care, nutritional support, academic support, mental wellness counseling, he said, these are nonpartisan issues that deserve a nonpartisan solution. Sankey said that, to our knowledge, no state has taken action to enforce its own NIL laws, and the individual states are also preventing the NCAA and conferences from adopting and enforcing reasonable NIL standards. He says NIL is a net positive for young people, but he also said there are stories about how it's being misused. He says some of the stories, this is a quote now, some of the stories and others not told of promises made but not fulfilled, of inducements offered but not provided, of empty commitments and NIL agreements that created more questions than provided answers, and other behaviors in this space that rightly cause concern. And he's right about that. And this goes, I've talked about this for 3 years now, that you're going to get the shysters out there that are going to say, you're all set, come here, I'll make sure you're taken care of. And as time goes, you're like, well, where's the being taken care of part happening? It's like the suit of the staff meeting.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit.
He's on vacation for the, what, this is the 8th week of the year, right? He's been on vacation, right?
I've lost count, I don't know.
It's a lot of time off. Reality is our student-athletes deserve something better than a patchwork of state laws that support their name, image, and likeness activities, if support is the right word. Look, this is not 50 states, 50 laws. It's not. I would say it's 50 states with 8 laws. Because there are a bunch of states that have the same laws. So it's probably 8 different laws spread out over 50 states. Sankey said the players he has spoken with throughout the SEC continue to ask for uniformity in NIL policies across the country, and that he has yet to have a conversation with an athlete who says they wanted to be deemed an employee of the school or conference. I don't think the players want to be employees. I agree with that. I have not heard, and anyone that I have talked with, they have not broached the idea that they want to be employees. So I'm with him on that, because that's the same thing with my conversations, are similar to his. They haven't brought up, hey man, might as well just make us an employee of the school. None of them have said that. And most of his comments were about NIL. He did announce that next year's media day for the SEC will be in Dallas, because Texas and Oklahoma are coming in. And he was asked about realignment, about expansion. I've watched others' message about we're not done yet, Big 12. I don't think that's healthy. People can criticize me and say, wow, you really sprung it on people in 21, which we did. And maybe there's no clean and perfect way to deal with conference membership. It's not a topic the SEC, other than providing updates, so we're very attentive to what's happening around us. Do I think it's done? People will say, I get to decide that. Right now it appears others are going to decide that before we make any decisions. My view is we know who we are, we're comfortable as a league. You go bigger, there are a whole other set of factors that have to be considered with that. I'm not sure I've seen those teased out other than when my mind plays out. He's right about that. Look, there's a limit as to how much you can handle organizationally. This is not the National Football League where you're doing 32 franchises in one business. When you are a college conference, you're not dealing with 16 football programs and 16 men's basketball programs. No. You're dealing with 16 volleyball programs and 16 gymnastics programs and 16 baseball teams and 16 softball. I mean, you're dealing with, in the 20s. So you're taking the 32 in the NFL and you're multiplying it by 22. That's what you're doing. That's a lot of organization to take care of. And that's what conferences have to be mindful of. It's so easy to sit there and say, well, this, they ought to move here and here and here, and it's going to be 24 teams in the Big Ten and 24 in the SEC. Hey, yo, you still have to manage it, because you're not just managing. It's not just a football-basketball expansion. It's not. When you expand for all the sports. So Penn State has, 31 sports? What, 22, 23 of them, 24 are in the Big Ten? Really? I mean, that's a lot of sports you're responsible for. It's not like the NHL. I got 32 teams. That's it. It's not like saying, hey, you only have 16. Make it 24. Yeah, but you've got to multiply that times 22 for each one you bring in. That's more organization you have to take care of. Question of the day for the audience. Whose racket breaking was more dramatic, Novak Djokovic or Matt Catrillo? Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Oh, my almighty!
Where do you have one vote for you over Djokovic?
I like that. I'll take that as a compliment.
I wouldn't. Well, so just remember, tomorrow with the equipment, just hit it on the side.
Oh, I'll probably do more than that if this keeps up.
Well, the storms here were terrible. I mean, I don't know how much thunder and lightning you had Friday.
We just had, at least for when I got back from vacation Friday night, it was just some rain here and there, like heavy rain.
Yeah, it was here in State College. It was bad. It was bad. I have a canopy on my deck. The canopy is easily replaceable, but it's pretty sturdy. It was torn to shreds.
Oh, boy.
No, it was torn to shreds, but, it's easily replaceable. It's no big deal. It's like, But still, just an indication. Branches are everywhere. So, yeah, it was pretty rough. Pretty rough. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.